going to invite our brother Dan to come and share what the Lord has given him.
Thank you for that opening, and good morning to each one. This morning I'd like to share about the topic of giving. And it's an interesting topic. There's a number of ways that we can give. We can give by our time. We can give by lending a hand. We can give by a listening ear. But really where I want to focus in this morning is our giving in the sense of our finances. Now, when I look back through my life, I have probably heard that I can remember, and maybe I'm wrong, but I can remember one message I heard on giving. And it's something that we don't talk about a whole lot, but it's a good topic to discuss together. And I'm here to tell you that I am still learning in this topic. So it's not like I got a handle on all this, it's just I'm learning yet. But I want to share with you about giving. And the amazing thing about giving is it's a matter of the heart. And that's where I want to focus this morning. A matter of the heart. And that's the important thing as we give. And when our heart is right, the Lord directs us and guides us. And we're going to look at the scriptures this morning, different scriptures, and look about giving. And I trust it will encourage your heart. I trust it will challenge your heart as it challenges mine. And that we'd just rejoice together in the Lord this morning. So let's ask him to bless our time together. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are here this morning and just would ask you to bless your word. That you would minister to our hearts this morning. You know each of our needs here this morning. As we look at this topic of giving, Lord, may you just speak to our hearts here. For I ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. All right, I want to look at a few passages and I want to read them together with you first before we get into how I've broken this message down. The first passage I want to look at with you is in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I've broken this message into four different parts. The first one is, God is the source of our giving. The second one is, giving is to be a part of our worship. The third one is, giving is something every believer is to be exercised in. And the fourth area I want to look at, if possible, is the experience of giving is a privilege that is to be accompanied with joy, even in difficult circumstances. So that's where we're going this morning, Lord willing, in different areas of the scriptures here. But I want to look at 1 Corinthians 16 with you, first four verses there. And we'll read that together, and then we'll read another passage in 2 Corinthians. It says there, Paul writing to the Corinthian church there, he says in verse 1 of chapter 16, he says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches in Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay aside by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me." That's the first passage. The second one I want you to look at with me is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. A familiar passage about giving as well. This passage really encouraged my heart as I looked at it in different ways here the last little while. He's writing here to the Corinthian church and he's talking to them about the Macedonian believers and how God worked in their hearts and lives and challenged them and moved them to give. And he gives them as an example to this church at Corinth. And let's read the first nine verses together. Now, some of the words in the King James Version, it's hard to grasp it, but I'll try to expound on it a bit as we go here. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." In other words, he says, I want you to know how the grace of God has been bestowed or given to those churches in Macedonia. "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Now, in that verse, we see lots of, not the word, is an oxymoron. They don't go together, these things. Like, here they are in a great trial of affliction, and yet they have abundance of joy. They have deep poverty, and yet they have real liberality in their giving. And those things in our mind don't make sense. They don't go together, but that's what happened here. And he's telling them about the Corinthian church about this. He says, "For to their power," in verse 3, "I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." In other words, they went beyond what they were expecting, "praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped." Or what he's saying is beyond more than what we hoped. He said, they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that he, as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So Paul had sent Titus to the Corinthian church there for the collection as well. Verse 7, it says, "Therefore, as you abound in everything," this is a church at Corinth, "you are abounding in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in diligence, and in your love to us. See that you abound in this grace also." And that grace that he's talking about is the grace of giving. "I speak not by command, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." And then he shared this familiar verse with them. He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And that's an important part of giving, is when you recognize what the Lord has done for us. And in chapter 9, I want to read just a few verses there, verse 6 to 8. It says in verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." And then we'll stop our reading there at this time. We've looked at a number of passages in the Corinthian book to the Corinthians about giving, and how Paul encouraged them in that. The first thing I want to look at together with you is that God is the source of our giving. And that's an important, that I think is a key in our giving together to the Lord. That God is the source of our giving. And there's a number of verses that bring that out. I want to refer to them. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Job 1 verse 21 tells us that Job, as he suffered those trials and things, he says, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 tells us as well that, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." It's the Lord that gives us those things. And a passage I was really encouraged with yesterday is found in 1 Chronicles 29. There, David, preparing for the temple, gave great gifts. And not only did he give gifts for that temple, but the leaders gave gifts. And not only the leaders, but the people gave gifts. And it says in verse 9 of chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles, and I'll read a few verses there, "Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy." And you see there the heart attitude of the people as they gave. They gave willingly, and it was a perfect heart. It wasn't, the motives were right. They were giving for that temple to be built, and they just gave with all their heart. And it says there in verse 10, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and that is in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee, or of thy own hand have we given back. In other words, everything we got here, David's saying, before the congregation, is from you. And how can that be that we can do that and give that back to you again? And he recognized that God is the source of his giving. And it's important for us to recognize that too. Now, not only is he the source of our material things that we have, he is the source of our spiritual life as well. And that is so important. Throughout the New Testament, it gives direction about giving, but it doesn't say, well, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do that. He shows them what Christ has done for them. This is what you have in Christ. You've been loved. You've been made right in Christ. He has given you all things freely. And because of that, I want you out of a heart of love and grace to give back. And when we recognize that God is the source of our life, that without him we are nothing. Without him we're lost. But when we come to that place, the faith in Christ, trusting him as our Savior, we recognize, wow, what an amazing thing you've done. You've loved me beyond measure. And you've blessed me beyond measure. Lord, everything I have is yours. May I give it and use it for your glory. It talks in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, that it's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. And that is where I'm really driving with this point here, is that everything we have is from the Lord. Sometimes we can think in our minds, and I can be guilty of it too, well, I worked for this, so I'm going to do with it what I want to do with it. And that is not what the Lord has for us. We have to recognize that everything, our strength, everything, our breath, it comes from the Lord. And to recognize, Lord, it's yours. I want to be a steward. And we can get into a whole topic of how we can be stewards, and I'm not going there this morning, but he wants us to be a steward and to recognize, Lord, you are the source. Everything I have is from you, and I am here to be a steward of that. And that's where I want to recognize with you together, God is the source of our giving. Now, in our world today, people can think, well, I'm going to, even those that are outside of Christ, think, well, I'm going to do my part and I'm going to give. And there's generous people in the world today who are not Christians. Very generous people. Maybe more generous than Christians. But that does not gain favor with God. Our giving does not gain favor with God in one way. Our giving should come out of a heart of gratitude. And the scripture is very clear that no matter what you give, whether you're a believer or unbeliever, it cannot gain favor with God. It does not give you a better standing or your better whatever. It does not. It's not about that. Giving cannot. It does not please God. If you are outside of Christ and you give to try to please the Lord, it does not work. The scriptures say it's an abomination to him. In Colossians 1, verse 21, it says that if we're outside of Christ, we are enemies of God. And to think that, well, my little bit of money that I have here is going to please God, it doesn't work. And even as Christians, we think, well, I've done my duty now, and so the Lord should really bless me because I've given a fair bit or whatever. That's not the attitude we're to have. The whole idea of giving is our attitude. Our attitude is, Lord, you have done so much for me. You've done everything for me. Out of a heart of love and appreciation, I want to just give to you what you've given me. And part of that is our finances. So God is a source of our giving. Secondly, giving is to be part of our worship. Giving is to be a part of our worship. In 1 Corinthians 16, where we began reading this morning, it says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. And I want to just kind of bring that thought of there about the first day of the week. Paul exhorted this Corinthian church and also the churches of Galatia that on the first day of the week, they would set money aside for the collection for the poor Christians in Jerusalem. That was where that was going. And he connects the giving with the first day of the week. And I really believe that part of that is our worship. As we give, it's out of a heart of worship and thanksgiving, we give again to the Lord and say, Lord, you've done so much. And we do honor him with our lips and with our actions, but also with what he's given us. And we see in different places in the New Testament where that first day of the week was a day when they remembered the Lord. They broke bread together. That was the day they came together, to break bread, to remember the Lord, what he's done for us, and to be taught. And we can see an example of that in Acts 20, verse 7. And that, I think, connects it with the idea of how giving is part of our worship. it doesn't need to be limited just to the first day of the week. I think that is a part of it, of our giving, that on the first day of the week we set money aside as the Lord prospers us. It doesn't say you got to do so many dollars or cents, whatever. It says as the Lord prospers you, you set it aside each week, and then you give. It doesn't have to be just that day, but I think that day is important. It's very important, as we see through Scripture, that it wasn't just on the first day of the week that Christians gave either. They gave different times throughout the week. And I think it's important that we're in step with the Lord and walk with the Lord, that we give it at whenever the Lord prompts us in that, but also to lay aside the first day of the week. If we look into 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we see that it was not only put aside on the first day of the week, but this group of believers in Corinth, or in Macedonia, sorry, there were things that preceded their giving. We see in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5 that it says, "And this they did, not as we hoped or above what we hoped, but they first gave of themselves to the Lord." I think that's an important part of our giving and our worship, is that they gave of themselves to the Lord. So it wasn't that, well, here, I the money is kind of, well, I'll give the money, but I can do what I want. That wasn't the idea of this Macedonian church. When they gave, their hearts were in such a condition that they were in love with the Lord. And they gave of themselves to him. I think I need to be challenged in that. That I give of myself to the Lord first. That's what they did. They gave of themselves first to the Lord. And then to the work of the Lord. Our giving should be preceded with a right heart attitude. And we can look at different passages. And I'll look quickly with you. I'm ahead of myself here. In 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7, we see our heart attitude as we give not only should be preceded by the giving of ourselves, but we should have a cheerful heart. In 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7, it says that every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So there we see the attitude of our heart, a cheerfulness, a joy as we give. Lord, what an opportunity to give what you've given back. And you think, you see David in this picture, as I read in First Chronicles there, how he could hardly get over it. He said, Lord, how can this be that we as just people can give to the God of the universe, and really all we have is from you? It boggled him, but his heart was cheerful. And that should be our heart attitude. It's not like, boy, I got to cling on to this stuff. And that's my general, that's where I go off and think, you got to be frugal and this, that, and the other. But God loves a cheerful giver. He wants us to be cheerful as we give. He also wants us to be willing. And we see in this verse as well. He says, don't give grudgingly. Like, oh, yeah, I got to do it. That's part of my Christian duty. It's not that way. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to give of necessity, which means, well, someone's putting the screws to us that we got to give now. They're really putting it to us. A pressure on us. That's not what he says. No, it's not about that. It's about a willingness to give. We should have a willingness, a willing heart to give. Our giving should be in love. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about that. You know, I can give all kinds of things, but if I don't have love, it amounts to nothing. So we need to have love in that. And also seeing Scripture very clearly as well, that our giving should not be for show. Not for show. And we see that in Matthew 6, verse 1 to 4, our giving should be done quietly. And there it talks about how our left hand should know what our right hand's doing in Matthew 6. It talks about when we give, you're not supposed to sound the trumpet and say, well, look what I'm doing here, to give quietly in secret. And the God who knows things in secret will reward you. And that is such an important principle as we give as well, that our heart attitude wouldn't be about, well, look what I give. It's about, Lord, I just want to quietly do this and you use it for your glory, because I want you to have the glory and the credit, not me. So, God is not only the source of our giving, giving is to be part of our worship. Thirdly, I want to look at, giving is something every believer is to be exercised in. Giving is something every believer is to be exercised in. And we get that from the passages we've read. It says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, everyone, as God has purposed in his heart, and also in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, which we just read, every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. And so we see that the principle there of giving is not just for just a certain few. It's for every believer. Now, the principle in giving is, again, as I've mentioned, it's not about the amount necessarily that matters, or how well off we are financially to give. It's as God has purposed in his heart and as God has prospered you. That's how we're to give. He doesn't expect us to give something we don't have. And that's brought out in 2 Corinthians 9 as well. Actually, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12. It says, therefore, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to what a man hath not. So here we see that the principles, as every believer's challenge to give, it's not about the dollars and cents so much. It's about what God has prospered us with and what's we have purposed in our heart. There's a few principles I want to look at as far as every believer to be exercised in giving. And the second one is that God moves in our hearts about giving and needs. And to be sensitive to the Lord, as every believer is challenged in giving, we need to be sensitive to the Lord's leading in that. And Paul referred to that in 2 Corinthians 8, about in verse 1, about the Macedonian church, how God, in his grace, worked in their hearts in a powerful way, that they gave above and beyond what they ever expected. These Christians were going through hard times, poor, and trials. And they think, well, often when we go through hard times, we think, well, I better just keep a bit back there just to watch it a bit, you know, just for a cushion or whatever. But they gave everything for them, for the Lord. And it really challenged Paul to share that with the people there in Corinth. So be sensitive to God moving in our hearts and to needs of those around you. Thirdly, our willingness to give must be matched by an actual follow-through. Sometimes we have a willing heart to give, but we don't go there. And we see that with the Macedonian church, they went there. They had a willingness, but they followed through and gave too. And we need to, sometimes we can say, well, I'd like to give that. That's a good work. And we have a willingness, but we don't follow through as the Lord prompts us. And as every believer's exercise in giving, we need to follow through as the Lord prompts us. And the fourth topic I want to look at quickly is the cost. And I want to refer to a passage in Mark 12, verse 41 to 44. As we give, we live in a very affluent society, and sometimes, or a lot of times, our giving doesn't really cost us anything, if that makes sense. It doesn't hurt financially. It's not sacrificial giving. It's just more like, it's just kind of the cream off the top. In Mark 12, we see there, Jesus is with his disciples in the treasury, in the temple, and they see people casting money in, and there's people came in there, and they cast loads of money into that treasury. And then they saw a widow come in, and she cast in two mites. And Jesus said to his disciples, you know what? That widow has put more in that treasury than all those people. They cast it out of their abundance, but she cast out of everything she had, even her living. And he pointed out to his disciples that she gave sacrificially. It cost her everything. And she was honored for it from the Lord. We see an example of this also in David's life, back in 2 Samuel 24, David had a census go through, and you know the story how the plague came and how David prayed and he was to offer a sacrifice to stop this plague, and he wanted to do this on this threshing floor, and the guy that owned the threshing floor said, yeah, you go ahead, have it. Here's the ox, here's everything. You just go ahead and do it. And David said, No, I won't do that. I'm going to pay you for it because I don't want to offer things to the Lord that has not cost me something. And so David paid for it in full and offered, and the plague was stopped. And we see the thought there of cost and how our giving should be sacrificial giving as well. I'll just mention here briefly as well, as we give, it should be the first, what the Lord has blessed us with. The first. Often we can have in our lives, well, we have this, this, and this, and this, and if I have something left over, then I'll give that to the Lord. But the Lord should have first spot in our life. As he prospers us, we should lay it aside and give. The fifth thing I want to touch on very briefly, and the time's going, but I just want to touch on it briefly, and we don't talk about this a lot, and I'm still learning about this. Nowhere in the New Testament does it command the believer to tithe. Now, having said that, I've mentioned, as I've talked here before, how our giving should be out of a heart of gratitude and love for what the Lord has done for us. That's where the Lord longs for us. As we recognize what he's done for us, our heart is so full of joy and excitement that we want to give back to what the Lord's blessed us with. Having said that, it does not say anywhere in the New Testament about a believer tithing. There is a principle in Scripture I want to refer to and challenge our hearts with, as it's challenged mine. We look back into Genesis 14, when Abram rescued Lot. This is before the law came in. He met Melchizedek, and Melchizedek was the king of Salem and the priest of the Almighty God, and Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of the spoils. This is taken up again in Hebrews chapter 7 when we see how Melchizedek is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Genesis 28, we also see that Jacob, as he ran away from home, fleeing for his life at Bethel there, he met the Lord and he saw that vision of that ladder. And God promised him many, many, many things. And Jacob said, you know, if you do this, Lord, and bring me back to my family in peace, then I'm going to give you a tenth of everything. That's what Jacob said. Jacob was that conniver back then, but he said to the Lord, this is before the law came in. He was going to give the Lord a tenth. Now we see in the law, in the Leviticus and in Numbers, there was a law for the Israelites to tithe. And the Pharisees did a great job of that, and almost so much so, the Lord rebukes them. And that's where I want to go with this, because even though it doesn't command the believer to tithe, I think it's a good place to start. And this is why I think this, and this is my personal conviction. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 23, verse 23. We'll just read that briefly. And again, I say, I'm still learning this one. Matthew 23, 23. And it's also referred to in Luke, but we'll just read this one as we wind her down here. Matthew 23, 23. He says here, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. So in other words, they're tithing to the very smallest thing. They're really good at it. And have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Now this was before the cross, but Jesus did not condemn their tithing. He said, your tithing is a good thing. The problem is, your heart's not right. You're tithing down to the smallest thing. You're going through the motions, but your heart's not right. And that's where he really pushed at them and challenged them in your heart. And we see that again in Luke, how he said, you guys do this, this, and this, and this, but you're leaving the bigger things undone. Do that, and don't leave the other undone. So he challenged them in where their heart was at. And I'll leave that with you, and you can think about that a bit, but that's where I see it in Scripture. I think it's a great place to start. But don't say, well, I've tithed, now I'm done. Give as the Lord blesses you. Just keep giving. All right, the fourth thing we'll look at is experience of giving is a privilege that is to be accompanied with great joy. As we think of giving and what the Lord's blessed us with, how can we experience great joy as we give what the Lord's given us? It's not us giving. It's not like, well, look what I've done. It's what the Lord's given us. Each one's different. How can we have that joy? I believe we can have that joy when we realize a few points, and I just want to touch on it very briefly. First one is, it blesses others when we fellowship or partner in their needs. It blesses others. And when we see God using that, it encourages our heart. Lord, as we commit ourselves to the Lord, and Lord, here I am, I just want to live for you and serve you and want to give what you've given out wherever you direct me. As we give, we fellowship with other people, and that ministers to them. And as we see the Lord using that, we just rejoice. Lord, you're moving. You're working. You are using that. I believe we can rejoice and give with joy when we see, God, you're at work. Secondly, it can be used for the furtherance of his kingdom. And we see that in Philippians chapter 4, how the Philippian church gave to Paul. And he says, you know, I have all that I need here, but you give, and I want it to abound to your account. That you're going to get credit for this. God's going to recognize it. You're laying up treasures in heaven ahead. But it's for the furtherance of his kingdom. And God's, we can give and we can do it with joy because we realize this is for the furtherance of God's kingdom. God, you can use this for the furtherance of your kingdom. Thirdly, giving causes praise to be given to God. And we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, how when they give, God gets the praise. As people receive that offering, they would praise God. Say, God, you're looking after me. You're meeting my needs. And you're doing it. And I'm sure you know of different stories how God has worked in amazing ways to meet needs that no one knew about but the Lord. But the Lord knew about it. And he prompted someone to give. And it met that need. And God gets the praise. We can give with joy because we realize, God, you're going to get praise in this. This is for you. This is for your kingdom. Fourthly, the purpose of giving is for God's glory. And it ties in with that thought of praise. Whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, whatever it is, do it for God's glory. And as we give, then we do it, Lord, it's for you. And then lastly, God can use what he's given for eternal use. And I want to turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 6 again. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Talks there about those that are rich. It says in verse 17 of 1 Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. In other words, don't be proud. Don't be, if you're, I think we look around the room here, we live in an affluent society. We all have finances, some more than others. But he says, it doesn't matter what you have, more or less. Do not be high-minded. Don't be proud about what you have. It's only a gift from God. So he says, don't be high-minded. Don't trust in uncertain riches. That's where a problem comes in when you have finances, is that you want to trust in them. That's your security. I got something there. I know everything's looked after. He says, don't trust in them. But in the living God, that's where our trust is to be placed. Whether we have much or little, our trust is to be in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And then he says to those that are rich, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute or to give it out, and willing to communicate or to be generous. It can be used for God's eternal glory. And that, as we realize that, that should cause our hearts to rejoice. Lord, what an amazing God you are. You saved me. You've given me a righteousness that I don't deserve, but it's in you. And you want me to give what you have blessed me with. And may it challenge your hearts as it's challenged mine that, Lord, how do you want me to give? To recognize you are the source, God. It's to be part of my worship. It's something I'm to be exercised in. And it can be used for your glory. So I want to do it with joy. And I trust that it will challenge your hearts as you think about this idea of giving. That you look within. And look to the Lord. And may he challenge you as he's challenged me. And may we keep growing in this wonderful opportunity just to bless and to be used by the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we've discussed this morning a topic that we often don't talk about very openly in our society, in our culture. Father, I just pray that your word would speak to our hearts this morning. And if there's something that I have said that is not profitable, Lord, just take it away from our minds. But that your word would speak to our hearts and that you would work among us. Lord, may we be excited as your people to live for you. And that we would let our lives count for you. And whatever that might be, and whether it be our giving, whether it be our helping others and just caring for others, whatever it might be, Lord, just work in our hearts this morning and challenge us in that. And may we grow together in this, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified. That's the whole purpose, Lord, that you would be the one that is given all the praise and glory because you deserve it and you are worthy. And so we thank you this morning and bless your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.